This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So it was lunchtime, around lunchtime, when Jimmy's parents noticed that their son's bedroom was completely neat and tidy. And in the center of the bed, his neatly made bed, was a letter with their name on it. Dear parents. And the parents walked into the room, they picked up the letter, and they sat down side by side on the bed to read it. And the letter read, "Dear Mom and Dad, I decided that this was going to be the easiest way to pass on the news. I am in love. I have run off with Becky, my new girlfriend, because I knew you would not approve of her. Becky doesn't go to school, and she doesn't have a job, but she's great. She lives in this cool old shack in the woods. She has taught me that it's okay to smoke pot, and she and I have a trade agreement. We grow and sell pot, so we can get all the other drugs that we need. We're going to make enough money to support our child. Did I mention you're going to be grandparents? Congratulations. So I'm dropping out of high school to focus on the trade and raising the child. I don't want you to worry about me, Mom and Dad. I'm 16 now and perfectly capable of taking care of myself. With love, Jim." And then at the bottom of the letter, "P.S. None of this is true. I'm over at a friend's house. I just wanted to remind you that there are worse things than my report card, which you'll find in the top drawer of my desk. Call me when it's safe to come home." Now, I think we can all agree that a bad report card is much better than the other scenario that Jim portrayed for us and laid out there for his parents. The contrast was pretty real. Today we encounter Peter, Simon, who now is Peter, and he's living in this contrast as well. He went from being blessed last week and divinely granted insight, "On you I will build my church. On you, you will be the rock of everything that is to come." We have a contrast from that, "You are the rock that I will build my church," to being berated and even called Satan. Being designated as a foundation stone in one minute to being depicted as a stumbling stone in another. I imagine his head was spinning. Why? But Jesus says, the problem is, Peter, you are still thinking in ways and terms and words according to the ways and the words of this world. And I, Peter, Jesus says, and not of this world, and you are called to think and to be of the world that I come. And not unlike Moses, who is wandering around in the world and encounters a bush that is on fire but is yet not consumed. Then he asks, "Who am I, God, that I could possibly lead the Israelites out of this slavery that they have endured for generations?" Moses asks, "How am I the one?" And Peter is asking, "How in the world is any of this possible?" But what all of these stories suggest is that there is no single moment necessarily. There is no single moment of truth in this way of Jesus and in following the way of God. There is no single moment of truth, but a series of them. A series of opportunities. A series of decisions to be made. Not just one single moment of truth and one single choice, but a series of decisions and choices that point us toward the kingdom of heaven. And today we are given much practical information about what these Christians, this way of Jesus might look like. What are those choices that we might encounter throughout our life That we are asked to decide when we come to the crossroads, which way will we go? We get quite a bit of practical information today about Christian principles for everyday living. Everyday living. One of them being, as my good friend from North Carolina used to say, kill them with kindness. More practical information that we get from Paul's letter to the Romans is that everyone should be treated as kinfolk. It's a good southern word. That we're asked to rejoice with humanity in situations of happiness, but that we're also called to mourn with people in times of sorrow. The decisions we make to be genuine, a popular word today, authentic. That we're asked to hold on to what is good. We're called to be patient, particularly in times of suffering. We're asked to remain hopeful that God indeed is always working. We are to be persistent in prayer. We're asked to show hospitality to the stranger and not curse those who persecute us. An easier way might be to say, don't curse those who make us mad. Because after all, revenge, as Paul notes, is not a good motive for a Christian way of being. We're called to live in harmony, to not be haughty, to feed the hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty, and like Moses, be able and willing to listen. And not only to listen, but to trust in God. Now that's a long list of fairly practical principles for everyday living. But the truth is, what is so hard for Moses and what is so hard for Peter at this moment is that they're not quite sure what is going to happen on the other side. There was a radio host by the name of Paul Harvey, some of you may remember, and he used to share what was called the rest of the story. The rest of the story was a Monday through Friday program that originally began during World War II, and then it became its own thing in 1976. He was around for a long time. But basically, the rest of the story consisted of stories that were presented as little known or forgotten facts on a variety of subjects with key elements that may not be revealed until the very end. Key elements that might fill us in on what the end is going to be, but he would hold those back until the very end. And the broadcast always concluded with a variation of the tagline, "And now you know the rest of the story." You see, the challenge for Moses was he didn't know the rest of the story. He was called to step out in faith and trust in God without knowing how it was going to end. The challenge for Peter is that he didn't know the rest of the story, no matter how many times Jesus had tried to tell him. Peter couldn't imagine this work that they had been doing, the miracles and the crowds that they had gathered and the stories that they had told and the vision that Jesus had given about this new way of life, this new kingdom. Peter couldn't imagine it without Jesus leading the way. He didn't know the rest of the story. In his mind, he was like, we're just getting started. And now you're saying you're going to leave? Moses says, how in the world can I be the one to lead them out of a slavery that they have endured for generations and generations and generations? You're saying it's going to be me? I wonder sometimes if Moses wishes he hadn't stopped at that burning bush. And yet at the same time, Moses and Peter are still able to take one step closer. That something in all of those uncertainties, they find a way of trust. And here, friends, we are on the other side of their story. We have, to a degree, the rest of the story. We know that Jesus did raise from the dead, that Jesus did encounter his disciples after his death, that Jesus did pass on the Holy Spirit that would guide them and lead them over the next years as they continue to spread these practical, very practical ways of living in this world that Paul so listed, being kind to one another, being genuine and authentic, holding on to what is good, being patient, being hopeful, praying, showing hospitality, not cursing and swearing those who do us wrong, to live in harmony, to not be haughty, to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty. We know that Jesus continued that message through his disciples, and then we also know that sometimes we get it wrong. The kingdom of God here on earth is not yet fully realized. Every now and then we might get a glimpse. It's often said that the kingdom of heaven is really just right here, and that every now and then we can see it. But you and I are called with a great task of continuing to make the kingdom of heaven here on earth a reality. And sometimes we get it wrong. And sometimes we get it right. Not unlike Peter, sometimes we can have a great day one day and lousy the next. But see, being a follower of Jesus doesn't promise us a trouble-free life. It doesn't promise us an affluent or even comfortable life. But what it does promise, as Jesus says, it is a life that you could not imagine otherwise. That once you get that little glimpse of heaven that is available right here, right now, that there is no turning back. That once you understand what that freedom is and what that joy feels like and what that hope can do, there's no turning back. And once you can feel it, Jesus knows that his way costs no less than everything. That his way costs no less than everything, but it leads to a discovery of something that is priceless. And when we encounter that kingdom of God that God so realizes and wants for this world, for all of creation, when we feel it in our gut, when we see it on the face of another person, when we realize that we may actually have agency to help that movement, there is no turning back. And my friends, it is worth everything. We sang in this song our new gradual hymn as we come to bring the gospel to the people. That's why we walk down, we bring the gospel. Jesus gave the good news to the people. And we're asking all these things, come with us, God from God and light from light. You are our God, and you live and have your being in us, so that we may bear your vision, God, so that we may bring your vision of the kingdom of heaven here on earth out into the world. We seek to serve you, God, and we can do that through all the ways, again, that Paul says, being genuine, being authentic, living in harmony, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, being willing to listen, being able to be still, being patient. We, God, are seeking to serve you through our work as well as through our persistence in prayer. Grant us light so that we may see and know you, so that we may see and know you in all of the people. Come with us, we pray, in our hearts as it is in heaven. Let the chorus sing. Let those who are glad sing praises. May our hymns and joys and hope for you be heard across the nations. Be with us forever, and let our life show forth your love. Amen.